In today's episode, we're joined by our friend Tyler and go on the craziest flight you'll ever see. This is Con Air.
Because we kind of threw that in, yeah, on the 4th.
Oh, yeah. I flipped my calendar to January, and it was a day that an episode was coming out, and I was like, why the hell are we recording on a Tuesday? Okay, then. Well, never mind. Cool. Business completed. I wish every day was like that. You could just knock out business in 5 minutes and go home.
It's that easy.
Yep. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you've been in prison for a couple of years, and then you get the opportunity to go home today on Funsphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Oh, we're starting.
Yes,
with
we
us.
Are. I mean, when I get an intro that good, I just got to roll with it.
I'm John Malkovich. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Diamond Dog.
I'm Agent Vince Larkin inside of John Malkovich.
I'm Bob. Hi.
Yep. Well, it sounds like we have a guest with us again. Tyler is back.
Hi.
Yes, and this is your suggestion for a film. The film in question is Con Air. Yes, it is, and it is a 1997 American action thriller film, and boy, do you got that right. But directed by Simon West, starring this ensemble cast of Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich, also Danny Trejo, let's see here else, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, and
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, yes.
Chappelle.
Yes.
Pinball.
Wow. Okay. So, this film. Tyler, why did you pick this for Funsphere Movie Club?
Con Air is like, it's a movie set in its time where summer blockbusters ruled.
Yes.
And they ruled real hard with some electric guitar in the background during some explosions. And this movie has like all that plus like an extra act that I think we can talk about when we get to it that makes it a little bit long, but that's fine. And it just has all the trappings of just like action, adventure, heart stop, just and then it just ends at Vegas.
It sure does.
Don't forget star-studded cast.
Star-studded cast, absolutely.
You got Nick Cage and the poor man's Nick Cage.
Who's the...
That's what people call John Cusack.
Okay.
Do they now? Okay. That is a...
I think I would flip that, because John Cusack has been around longer than Nick Cage.
Yeah.
But Cage. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I didn't make it up. They call him the poor man's Nick Cage. Maybe he's cheaper to hire.
Oh.
Do they want Nick Cage in High Fidelity?
top five poor Nick Cages.
Hold on, I have to Google something real quick.
I am a firm believer in the multiverse theory, so I am sure that in some universe somewhere, High Fidelity was made with
Nick. They wanted Nick Cage and Must Love Dogs.
Must
Love Dogs. Wow. Worth the Google. It really was.
I just, for some reason, thought, I'm pretty sure it was John Cusack, but maybe it was Mark Ruffalo.
Okay.
So yeah, it's Con Air.
Yes.
So we start out. Con Air is this wonderful vessel for Nick Cage and all these action-packed, star-studded cast members. Yep. But Nick Cage starts in what, Kentucky? like some Mobile, southern Alabama. State.
Mobile.
There we go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, JJ. Absolutely. And he goes through, what is it, ranger training?
Yes.
And he graduates.
Right.
And he has a beer at his wife's, not her bar, but she's serving at the bar.
Yeah.
And then some dudes walk up and they're like, I'd like to dance with your wife. And Nick Cage is like, no, sir. In a nice southern accent.
That comes and goes as the film goes on.
Yeah. Depending on how much action Cellular. Happens. And so the scene progresses and hours go by and the dude that wanted to cause some trouble brings friends and causes further trouble.
Yes.
And Nick Cage solves the trouble. Unfortunately, that is with a palm to the nose.
Yes.
It was the classic Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
His hands were registered as dangerous weapon in this movie, so something to be known.
Yes, which is, by the way, 1,000% not a real thing. That does not exist. You would not be tried differently because you are a army-trained dangerous weapon.
I mean, you got to get him on the plane somehow.
You do.
So
you do.
He goes to prison for like a long time, like 9 years or something.
Yeah, for taking a plea deal. It was supposed to be like 4 years.
To protecting himself.
The lawyer's like, you should take this plea.
Yeah.
This is for you. The judge is like, you're an idiot and your lawyer's an idiot.
Yes.
Take the 9 years. And so sad, and then we see the montage where he does his time, he shares snowballs with the janitor, and that comes back later because the janitor rides with him
yes.
on the Con Air plane ride.
Yes.
Why wouldn't he be able to get out for good behavior? For
I guess it's because he's
everyone in that
dangerous
prison loves him.
That's true. He even avoided the riot.
He did.
The
yes.
riot was happening in the background. He's like, I'm going back to sleep.
He's like, I'm
going to
cover my ears, and it's not happening.
That's how you.
We need to keep you around and make you so that people can see how they should act in person.
That's how you get to trust only two people.
That's right.
It's true. And so Nick Cage gets remediated. Well, no, he's on his way out. He's been remediated by prison. He's leaving, has a nice tearful moment. Him and his, oh my god, I forgot the character's name.
Baby O.
The main crux of, there we go, Baby O.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
His prison wife.
And so him and Baby O get on the plane, along with other full psychopaths.
Yes.
Just kind of a, it almost even feels like it was so hyper violence. Infused with all these characters that they even had nicknames.
Yes.
Like everybody.
Everyone
had, like,
has a nickname in this film. It's true.
Everybody's very cool.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure there's no sympathetic villains. So they give you the rundown immediately of like the most gruesome crimes that you can think of. And like you said, everyone gets a nickname, such as, let's just go through a few here. We got Billy Bedlam. Good mm-hmm. one. John, Johnny 23. Let's see here. Nathan Diamond Dog Jones, Cyrus the Virus Grissom.
Just every time, big sigh.
Yes, yes.
The one, Diamond Dog, he's the one that, like, shot up the NRA.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
He was very sympathetic at that.
Yeah.
And then later, I don't know, but.
Day of the Dog begins,
like,
you know.
Yeah. They should set him. He shouldn't be arrested.
The funny thing is, like, you know, this is, these are all, like, supermax criminals, and they're transporting them all together for some reason? Like, it's not...
Convenience.
I mean, you are definitely...
Gas.
Yeah, I guess.
So, this...
On the slash...
I was gonna say, like, once that scene starts going, I just thought that this movie is really great, and that it makes you feel like you're psychic. Because you can see everything coming a mile away.
The foreshadowing.
Yeah.
But what about, like, the guy for tax evasion or something like that? Why couldn't that guy just get on the plane as well? You know, you have to have the serious criminals. Like, John Cusack was like, it's my plane. It's like,
yeah.
Again, these guys are either life
they
or...
They should have shot it down.
Listen, we'll get to that point later, but...
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, there couldn't have been some small petty crimes on that plane either. Just some silly fools. But no, it's super hypermax violent criminals, all with wonderful nicknames. Well, horrible nicknames, but yeah. Know, for the viewers, just like, aww. And so they all get on the plane. John Cusack gives the rundown. He passes Nicolas Cage, calls him a nobody. So at this point, we're also seeing John Cusack's antagonist, which is some DEA guy who brings in his agent to also get on the plane.
Correct.
And that DEA agent, they have a fight because they want to arm the DEA agent on the convict airline. And that's a no-go even now, 2024.
Yeah.
Not even, like, 90s. That was even before 9/11. Like, that could have flown, but on conviction airlines? No.
Yeah, and remember, the whole reason for putting that guy on there was to try to get him to talk to somebody. And I don't even know who he was supposed to talk to, because it immediately just, like, it goes full throttle, like Mike talked about. I was like, did they even put the guy next to him? He never even tried to talk to the criminal he was supposed to
talk to. It just cuts to everyone was able to smuggle something on the plane.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, open your mouth. Okay, you're good. Like, barely check.
Not even like, check me, give me your hands. Airport. Make sure there's not a giant wire.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as John Cusack's getting the rundown from DEA guy, and it's like, I'm going to arm my guy when he goes on the plane. And then John Cusack throws a fit in his, I think they were focusing on the sandals for some reason, because he's like a green ecology guy. I didn't know if there was dialogue in there that mentioned John Cusack was like, for the planet.
No, I don't remember that, but I remember they were like, they hate him because he's brainy and he has a good handle on the English language and knows some good synonyms.
That's right. Dogged him on the synonyms. Yeah. And so the DEA agent gets, you know, the wonderful TSA treatment that we all receive now. And as that occurs, his DEA agent boss is the one that gives him the pat down.
Yeah.
And with that pat down, a small caliber pistol is placed in his left leg.
Yeah, so it's right leg. Just like the nowadays, you guys don't get small caliber pistols stuck in your socks every time you go to the airport?
I have global entry, so I don't get that.
Oh, okay. Nice. So they give you like a full on like machine gun then, right? Okay.
And I don't have to take my shoes off.
Ooh, that's nice.
She can bring as many screwdrivers into the airport
at
as possible.
LA. Okay, speaking of TSA, sorry, but when I was coming back, when we were coming back from LA, I had to do like the general, like I just got global entry. So I was just in the normal secure TSA line. It was the most bizarre thing in my whole life, because you had to like normal line, and then all of a sudden there's like this big space with a bunch of like tape on the floor and lines and all these fans blowing opposite, like you're walking against the way they're blowing. So you have to walk side by side with somebody, and then a dog follows behind you. They're just smelling for stuff, I know that, but it was so weird. And then like, you just sort of end up in lines, and one line was normal, everybody was like taking their shoes off and stuff. And then the line I was in, they were like, don't take your shoes off. And then you just like walk through, I'm like, what's happening?
That's how they do it at Denver too. Yeah, and we got to see them pull somebody in.
No.
Everybody in the line just goes, ooh.
I'm pretty sure it's legal. Yeah.
In Denver, but
yeah,
not
in the airport.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, not at
not
the airport.
Everywhere.
Con Air.
Yeah, it's legal on Con. Everything's legal on
Now,
Con
do
Air.
I also find it, like, odd that it was the prisoners who dubbed it Con Air? It wasn't like the federal agents like, oh, we're putting them on Con Air. No, John Malkovich 100% is like, welcome to Con Air. I'm going to keep calling this Con Air.
He was so
like
excited.
Nine different times during the
trip.
Oh,
but when he made that announcement, you knew you were in for it. Like, it got so good. It got so good at that point.
Yeah, buckled in.
I was so annoyed. I was like, why can't they just get to their destination? I hate when things go wrong.
Speaking of things going wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody gets on the plane. The DEA agent also gets on the plane. And as the plane is lifting off, everybody is just doing a plan.
Yep.
Like, the virus is doing a plan. Diamond Dog's on the plan. I feel like Bedlam's in the plan. I'm unsure. But two big major characters here.
Yep.
So they start getting ruckusy, mm-hmm. make a noise. I think...
Do they even take off before they start going into the plan immediately? It seems like, all right, we got everybody on board. Plan goes right, like, 2 seconds. It goes into it.
They should have just driven the plane on the ground.
They did not build the suspense of, oh, is someone going to break out or something like that happen? Nope. No time. Got to get to it.
Well, somebody gets on the plane and makes, like, while he's walking on the plane, he's like,
yeah, we do get like a lot of just cuts to people, and it's just people just bleh, bleh. But I believe Baby O needs his
insulin.
Yes, his diabetes shot.
He's gonna die.
And I want to say that's the inciting moment, because that guard is like unnamed guard number 5, and he's the one like getting it out of the med case.
Yep.
And then virus like hits him with something.
Oh no, no! First, Dave Chappelle
lights
the guy on fire.
Shut. That's right. Pinball makes a scene and lights Chief on fire, which is really bad. Yep. But foreshadowing for what happens later, I guess, because then Chief gets to watch something else happen.
What?
I don't know. We'll see. And so a person is on fire on Con Air, and obviously they have to put this guy out.
And they haven't even left the ground yet. Like, literally.
They have not left the ground. We are 45 minutes into a ground plane, not even in the air.
Wait, why?
Classic American airline experience.
That's
right
the
now.
Question. Like, they spring this like immediately. Like, the cops are still outside. They haven't even left yet. And it's like, nope, gotta go. And then he's like, Cyrus tells the guy, he's like, look, if you don't take off,
well, they wanted to leave because they had the safe haven they were going for, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They had to be there.
Yes.
Were the cons. Yeah, but like the pilots of the plane, you know, they could have just turned all dad, or like, are they just trying to make good time? You know,
I guess that does beg the question. Was it like, these guys are taking too long, and we got an appointment, so we got to just do this right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the Auburn basketball team, two players got in the fight on the plane. They turned that thing around. Con Air, no.
Yeah.
A bunch of diarrhea comes out of the toilet. They turn the plane around.
What?
Meanwhile, a man was
diarrhea
on fire
plane.
In Con Air.
Do you remember this?
Yep.
It's fine.
When?
That happened in real life. Like 2 years ago. Diarrhea plane. Like, somebody got sick in the bathroom, and then it, like, came out, and it was, like, rolling down the aisle, so the plane had to, like, divert and land.
Stays on a plane.
Hey, now Spirit Airlines just filed for bankruptcy. They don't need you dredging up old stuff like that, okay? They're going through.
Oh my
hard
god! Did
time.
You see it? Look, the Spirit Airlines desks or whatever in LaGuardia or Raccoon just fell out of the ceiling.
It's classic. It's a low-budget tiered airline for those that are listening that are not in the U.S. Spirit, fly if you like. I think that's their motto.
Hey, it's your money. That's the.
Now it's our money.
Spirit Airlines, you get
so Con Air on the ground. The plane is grounded. Chaos is ensuing in the belly of the plane right now. So in the middle of that chaos, we do see Virus and Diamond Dog escape from their like closet seats,
because
their seats were like in a cage where you could stand up and sit down, and that's about it. But just for those two guys, because they're the worst, but also, you know, the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
So they get out, murder a guard, because that guard's trying to help put out the flaming convict.
Yes.
And also give Baby O some of the diabetes medication. And they get caught in the sandstorm of this chaotic ensuement.
And then a real sandstorm.
That's right. And the plane goes off.
Yep.
What happens is somebody gets a gun, Then they start unhooking prisoners. Then as the DEA agent is unhooked, he grabs his gun and immediately takes Pinball, who's unlocking all the characters, and holds Pinball hostage.
Yep.
Against Cyrus the Virus, and Cyrus takes one of the main guards that we follow, the woman guard, and has a standoff with him, but the DEA agent's way in over his head because he's surrounded by convicts on a plane, and he gives away his position immediately after becoming uncuffed, which is like, there's no Metal Gear Solid sneakiness here. This is all blown out. Just, my man is living last action hero, and he is the last hero on that plane because he gets shot. Yep. Then the plane goes off because John Malkovich points a gun at the pilot and says, fly it. And he flies it.
Yep.
Now we're in the air. And then we get the title card of the movie, Welcome to Con Air.
Just even reliving it, I'm bored.
Yeah. It's it's like going to a hot rod convention. You know it's going to be awesome. You're going to see a lot of amazing technicality and technical things. But once you've seen it, sometimes you've just kind of seen it. That's Con Air for me. But it's also a solid 7 out of 10 action thrill ride that does not stop.
So I had a quick tangent before we get too far away from it. But what do you guys think is the latest a title card has ever shown up in a movie? Besides it being at the very end. I would love to see a movie where... like, it shows up in the last 10 minutes. Like, the exposition is the entire movie. And then title card, and then it just ends.
I feel like that was the Aragorn movie, but the Aragorn? The dragon one. It sounds too similar to the Lord of the Rings, man.
That's true.
Aragorn?
Oh, yeah.
It came out in like the mid-2000s. Yeah. Mid to late.
Yeah, that movie. I remember when it ended, I was like, I thought it was finally like starting the actual plot. Okay.
I'm actually going to go Demolition Man for my answer, legitimate, because that movie has like a whole battle scene before we get the title card Demolition Man.
Yeah. I know that's like, it's become a thing in video games now that you'll usually play like a full-on level before.
Like the introduction or the training kind of stuff.
Yeah. Before you see the
Kingdom Hearts 2, Dragon's Dogma 2 also, except it's way later.
Caught a video about that, yeah.
The movie Drive My Car, I think the title card comes in about an hour into the movie.
Whoa!
Yeah. Really?
That's cool.
I think it's about an hour. I'm going to look.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, because movies, obviously, they want to put it at the front. You know, title card. Sometimes, even in the old film days, they'd put title card and, you know, cast.
I was going to say...
Well, the whole credits.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I guess Star Wars is interesting. I was like, is that one... I was like, it's not in Star Wars, but both The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, their actual logo for those films aren't until the end of the movie.
Oh my gosh. So 7 years ago, I just Googled it. 7 years ago, someone asked the same question. Like, when is the latest title card in a film, not including when it's before the end credits? They were watching 127 hours, and it came up 17 minutes into the movie. Friday the 13th, the 2009 one, was like 20 or 30 minutes in.
Yeah, I remember that now that you mentioned that, huh?
Pacific Rim, 15 minutes in. A-Team, 20 minutes in.
That was a remake, right? A-Team?
Yeah, I think so.
With our boy Bradley Cooper, his face.
I didn't see that for some reason. It just felt wrong.
It was decent.
Was
it's no Con Air. But it's
decent.
No, I mean, it's for what it is. I mean, it's fine. But it's not. It's not. Listen, I had a great time with Con Air. I loved every moment of it.
Yeah.
It was so good. I mean, there's a lot of lines in it that, or, I don't know, that fight at the bar. They're in Mobile, Alabama, at an oyster bar, And then when the guy got killed, why was the oil rig? Like, why was that? Like, where was that bar located?
It's right outside of an oil field.
There's a lot of questions. Uh-oh. Oh, JJ's gone.
We lost JJ. He will be back.
He will return.
He will return.
In the sequel.
Con Air 2, Electric Boogaloo. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question, and this is one that I think we can very easily get several answers for. Which actor...
There's at least three.
Yes. Which actor chews up the most scenery, lines, whatever, in this film? Because I think... I'm going to just say it. John Malkovich is having a time in this film. But he's not the only one.
Yeah.
Right.
We've talked before about Nicolas Cage has to go just wild. Dave? Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle is having a good time in the first part of the film.
I read that he improvised most of his lines.
I could 100% see that.
That's very... It's very fun dialogue.
But then you also have
chews
like...
up the most scene.
Yep. I mean, you've got... Buscemi is doing his thing. His stuff...
I liked his stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a movie about his character would have been more interesting.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit
just
more
like
background.
A quiet serial killer.
But they
story.
Do. They.
I don't like action films.
They definitely
he
make
would have a more suspense.
They definitely make a huge
like.
Swerve with him because they make him out like he is the scariest human being that has ever existed.
Yeah. Like Lecter adjacent.
Yeah. Oh, they're like, you know, we can up Hannibal Lecter. We really can. You know,
just put in some dialogue about wearing some woman's head as a hat. Yep. Send it on.
I was thinking, like, you know, they had that scene where he's in the straight jacket and face mask. Let's do that. Let's put him in an armored car that takes two security guards synchronizing the key to open. Then you have to have all these, like, restraints on a stick. He's, like, in 300 pounds of chains and locks on him. And they, like... They put him in the closet too. He definitely gets put in the closet. Like even
he does get a closet.
Yeah, and the thing is, of course, he's being transported by the criminals at this point because they're pretending to be guards, and even they're afraid of him.
Yeah, even though he's throughout the movie, spoilers, but he shows no physical prowess. At no point is he just one-handing a guard in the dome, or like...
That's what serial killers are like.
Right.
They're little freaks.
Right. It's like, we gotta put him Gacy style, but we also gotta give him that Lecter-esque kind of build-up.
He's gotta sing with this girl who's like, way too friendly with strangers.
100%. At the trailer park, inside of a drain pool somewhere. So...
Hang on just a second. JJ, are you back?
Yeah. Welcome back, JJ. So... Quite right. The question Josh posed was, which character in Con Air do you feel like chews up the scenery the most? Nice.
Danny Trejo.
He wasn't even hands on the down. List we were discussing. We had Chappelle, Malkovich, Cage, even Buscemi, but you come up with a different one. I like it. You know what? Even Ving Rhames, now that I think about it, was chewing up a lot of scenery. They just,
you know,
you've got to wonder if, like, behind the scenes, they're like, all right, I saw what you did last time. Check this out. And then they just play it up huge the next time.
It feels like everybody's just yelling in this movie, too. Like, they're in the same room, but everybody's just having very escalated conversations. Yep. So everybody's, giving that, look at my neck veins while I'm telling you narration.
You know what? Then I take that back. Okay. I take Danny. My person will not even be a kicker. It would be ass kicker. The car.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to use that as a good segue to talk about the very, very early transition into CGI that we were having during this time, because it stands out like, oh, you can clearly see this was a green screen shot. You can see where they clicked on the mouse and drug this actor across the screen from a still. Like the explosion in Cyrus's cell, where that guy clearly has the bomb that says "Do not open," and that man does not. He just ignores that, even though doors it completely.
He can't read.
John Cusack says, "Hey, don't open that," or don't.
Right.
And he just He's like, he doesn't know anything, and literally, I was thinking of that, and I was thinking about you mentioned the car. You can see the like green moving. Like, we're talking early 2000 YouTube videos where you would see the, like, the pixels moving along with the image. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to call BS on all that, too, because if Dave Chappelle can drag the plane...
To be fair, and make it that go slower. Is that a car, Stingray no problem. Corvette, just, so it did have some time in a wind tunnel and was designed to be aerodynamic. So maybe, just maybe, a person might cause a little bit more drag than that beautiful vehicle.
I want to change my answer to the previous question. I think it's Don S. Davis.
Don?
A.K.A. Bobby's dad from Twin Peaks, because he was the guy. This is one of the only times I actually laughed at this movie.
Yes.
Was that guy who was complaining about the bird poop on his
windshield.
And that lady said, it's good luck. And then, I don't even remember
Dave
who it
Chappelle.
Was. Immediately fell out of the sky and landed on his car.
That's right.
That felt like a scene that somebody else came in and wrote, somebody else directed it. Like, it just was completely out of place.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but a few weeks ago, there was a thread going on, like, Reddit and the internet. They were like, man, do you remember when they used to use just dummies in movies and, like, fling them all over the place and just have the most, like, ragdoll physics and stuff? I was just thinking about that obvious Dave Chappelle dummy they dropped on that car.
I think he chewed the most scenery.
That was great. Well, and then him, and then him falling from the sky as well. We got it.
Yep.
I mean, they were about 45 seconds too long.
Just it would have been way funnier, like, if it just like immediately.
Yep, he's falling.
Like no scene of him, like his long descent. Just
like it was better than like Super Dave, but not by much.
Super Dave Chappelle.
Now that show would be a smash hit. I would love Super Dave Chappelle.
I would watch some Super Dave with Dave Chappelle. So in the plot, we have done.
Oh, I forgot
things.
This movie has a plot.
It does have a plot. So we go to Carson City, which is encountering a dust storm. That's where we have several convicts go off and then several convicts get back on.
Yes.
That's where we get to meet Garland Green. That's where we get to realize that the convicts can all act like guards, which might say something sociopolitically, but that's fine. And so after they leave Carson City, they also have to go to another airfield, which is a Lerner airfield, in the middle of nowhere, because Cyrus made a deal with one of the convicts that got onto the plane that they would get onto a private jetliner and fly into an extradited country, or one that does not extradite convicts to the United States. So they get to Lerner Airfield. The plane's not there. What's going on? They also had to crash into Lerner Airfield before they hit a giant propane tank, and they would have all exploded in, like, Looney Tunes-ass kind of comedy. It's got bits of it. That's why I also like this movie, because it's just like, don't hit the propane tank. Oh, no!
Put those Acme on it.
Just like... And they, I didn't understand why they didn't want to shoot down a plane, but then I was like, well, I guess this was pre-9/11. Because I feel like they would just disintegrate. Like, they would just, like, if they were...
Oh, yeah, if this was a real-world situation, they go, like, 5 feet off of the tarmac before they are just, like, RPG'd into the non-existence.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why they chose the particular model airplane that they did. Like, I guess maybe they just had a couple of these lying around that they could blow up. was the only reason I could think of it, because I was like, this is 1997. No one's using prop planes like that anymore for prisoner transport. And I was like, I know it's a line at the end of the movie where the guard Bishop says, you know, next time take the bus. Also, I was like, yeah, they wouldn't fly people. They would just put them on a bus and drive them there. So, but yeah. You know what? When did Speed come out? Did Speed come out the year before? So maybe that's why they couldn't use a bus. I'll look it up.
What about a train?
See, that's the
Con
sequel.
Train.
No,
that's the sequel. They just put him on a train.
Okay, so Speed was 94. What's that movie with Steven Seagal on a train? Like, it was after Under Siege.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, yes, classic actor Steven Seagal takes on Murder on the Orient. Guys, we're in the wrong business. Let's just take a second here. We've got Super Dave Chappelle we've pitched. Now we have Steven Seagal taking over Murder on the Orient Express. Why are we not in Hollywood?
Don't forget our best pitch ever. JJ's idea.
Good old boy. Yep.
Good old boy. Yep.
So, oh, it's Under Siege 2. That's what it is.
Right. I thought it was just the sequel. Because then he gets into like a big like fight in the food cart.
Yes.
Ugh. Steven, stay wherever you are. Don't do anything else, please. So, Con Air gets shot at, and John Cusack yells at the person shooting, which is the DEA boss who lost a, you know, staffer, so he's really upset. So he fires on Con Air, one of the propellers goes out, and then John Cusack convinces him that, Nicolas Cage's named character, but Nicolas Cage has got the plane.
Sailor.
Yeah. He's got the plane. We've got the plane. Yep. It's totally fine. More chaos happening on the plane. He's out there because Baby O needs his diabetes medicine.
Yes.
And that's what we're still clinging on to as this, why he's stayed on the plane the whole time.
Yes.
Many hours.
Even though
I would imagine diabetic shock would occur. But at the same time, I don't know about diabetes.
I would think that being in Carson City, or even being on the ground within, you know, range of a hospital.
I love how they have so much faith in him, though, from the ground. They're like, well, he would have stayed on for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
He wouldn't have gotten on that plane if he didn't need to.
Yeah. And at the same time, they're also trying to, like, well, you know, some prisoners get afraid of being free or something like that. I was like, don't try to give this guy any pathos. Like, he's struggling with the idea of coming back to the real world. These people don't have thoughts and motivations besides what can I blow up next?
So I think we might be looking at it wrong. I think Nick Cage might be the villain, the main villain in this movie. So,
what did he give
Baby O every time he came by his jail cell?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He didn't care about
Nick Cage,
Baby O.
Are you saying, like, his whole thing about, like, giving him the candy and the insulin is, like, some sort of sick control thing he's got over him?
Yeah, maybe he's the one who wanted all the power. It's a slow burn.
So you're saying that basically when Diamond Dog and Cyrus the Virus all show up, they're just messing with his plan. So he has to stay on the plane because, like, you can't wreck what I have going here. Okay, wow.
Yeah, his plan was to slowly watch Baby O die.
It's just like the worst roommate ever or whatever, but that lady was, like, insulin poisoning person, her roommate, because she wanted to steal her kid and live her life. And Nick Cage really wanted to be the
Okay. So, Con Air is needing to land somewhere, and they get into Vegas airspace.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no more gasoline in the plane. We didn't care about it before, but it's a big major plot development now. And so where are they going to land? Well, they're looking at Vegas, so they're probably going to land in Vegas. And they do what Buzz Lightyear might call a soft landing. Because they just...
Crunching with style?
Yeah, they just blew through so many different establishments. And it's okay, because, you know, who drove the plane? It was prisoners, you know. It's not like it's Spirit Airlines.
I am so enamored with the idea of driving a plane around on the ground. Like, I don't know why. It just seems like it'd be really fun. And I kind of wish they'd just done that. Especially when they were fighting the military. Like, what, just run them over with the plane. Like, that would have been so funny.
But when planes are on the ground, they just get little tiny wheels.
I know, but they can't go back, only forward.
That's it's a very, very 2024 mindset.
They can go back in Grand Theft Auto. Can you imagine how miserable it would be to play a game where you could not back up a plane? Because they already have worse than boat controls.
Yeah.
It's like the remote control mission.
I love driving a bar of soap on a wet floor.
Speaking of planes, if we ever go to Utah, we can make a pilgrimage. Because the Con Air plane is there. It's at the Wendover Airfield, which was also the film location.
Yeah, apparently there is...
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know, I was ragging on them for using their plane, but apparently these planes were, like, a real problem. The actual plane, apparently there were three of them used for filming. One of them killed a guy in production, and he's actually in memory of at the end of credits. It's him, yeah. And then another one flew into Mount Healy. Yeah. And then the third one...
Cousin of Mount Wheely.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last one, like Mike mentioned, is apparently... It's been locked down on this airfield for the safety of others.
Under the watchful eyes of the Mormons.
They can't let it get loose.
Church of
Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thoughts and prayers.
And the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
So, the plane lands. It does a landing. It does a landing.
Yep.
Right in front of a casino. And God and everybody... And so you think it's over. You think, like, all right, cashed in. Totally fine. No. The convicts exit the belly of the plane, leave through subterfuge. Somehow Virus gets on a fire truck that's just going.
Yeah.
Driven by... Oh, the convicts stole the fire
truck.
That's
right. Yep. That's right. There's three of them that they stole fire truck. And then Nicolas Cage and... oh my God, what's his name?
John Cusack.
Jump on police bikes and chase them.
They just look at each other longingly before starting them too. Yeah. Just
they're so smart. Every one of these cons just being super low profile, making it really easy to accomplish their goals. Like, you know, taking normal looking cars, not hijacking planes.
I'm just like, if I was John Cusack reading the role, and I'll talk to my agent and be like, so I get to drive three different types of vehicles in this movie? Because he got to drive the helicopter, the stolen car, the motorcycle, and he's trying to kick the truck.
You know what it was, JJ? I found another interesting fact. I think this was the kicker for him. He was probably on the fence about this movie, right? But then they said, hey, your brother, you know, famous actor brother... you don't have any other famous actor siblings. He can be a background EMT. So not only can you drive all three vehicles, we'll put your brother in the film too.
That's cool.
I would say John Cusack is the poor man's John.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, what's better, High Fidelity or School
of Rock? High Fidelity.
I mean, I kind of had that answer too once I said the words.
You know, that was one other part that I found very funny in this movie, and that's when they were laying out the plans, you know, and that guy's like,
hey, Tyler,
that?
Just so you know, and we cannot see you on camera at the moment.
Yeah, my video went down for some reason. Okay. I turned it back on, but it is not showing.
As long as your audio is still good. There it goes.
No, there it goes.
Hi. Right.
Oh, there we go.
So yeah, exactly. I freeze. So the convicts escape on a fire truck. They are then wrestled by John Cusack and Nicolas Cage. And I think what happens to Diamond Dog? He just gets shot.
Yeah.
The hillbilly pilot gets doused with water.
Yes.
From the fire hydrant. Or mm-hmm. from the hose that's on the fire truck. They just give him a nice little sauna in the cabin that drives the truck. And then Cyrus somehow ends up like a cement factory?
Yeah, he gets...
Crashes into a cement factory?
He showed back up at the bar at the beginning of the movie. Like, how did he end up
they
at the
decided,
oil pump?
Like, all right, we're going to throw him through a window. All right, that's not a good enough way to kill him. We'll have him just, like, hit the ground. Not a good enough way to kill him. Let's have him be his head crushed by some sort of industrial piece of equipment that's just sitting on the Las Vegas Strip. That's how we're going to go.
Totally fine.
Yep.
Totally fine. Yeah. Well, you got to kill that smart brain. That's the only way you can do it. Just crush his entire head. Here's the thing, too. Landing in Vegas... As awesome as that part was, the strip is only about, 5 miles long, if that? Could they just not have just landed in the desert? Just make it a little bit, you know, out? Like, nah, we just got to crash into the hard rock here. Just
we got to show that one roulette machine, or not roulette machine, but one slot machine. Just hit it big.
Yep, it's got to hit the
Nobody
sevens.
Was there.
Yeah, to kind of continue the Looney Tune-esque thing, it's definitely got to hit the sevens and pay out at the end.
Mm-hmm. And then there's just money blown across the street in Vegas as we're trying to resolve the plot. People are like, oh my God!
All right.
And that's where that tax fraud guy would have came into play, like taking all the change.
Off
the
of Con Air,
cash.
Back onto his hijinks.
The sad thing is that the Vegas Strip had not seen that much damage since Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
A classic.
Yeah. And then we get
And then he gives the bunny to his daughter.
Yep. The emotional payoff of, again, hey, Nicolas Cage, meet your kid that was born while you were in prison.
That's what I'm saying.
Second time this was on Funsphere Movie Club.
Yeah, and like at the beginning, he kills a guy with his fist. It's the same movie.
Very similar. Very similar.
I do feel like his daughter did act phenomenally, because I would have been estranged to see this man just show up and be like, can I have a hug?
Yep.
And she, not having it. She didn't want to pick up the sewer bunny. She did. Love her for it.
Yeah, the sewer bunny. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny.
Wonderful actor.
Apparently she was that good an actor, because they also gave her a full screen end credit with her name and picture, just like all the other A-list Hollywood actors.
It's because they thought we cared.
I feel like she has other acting roles than this. Like, as she grew up, I think she did other stuff. I could be wrong.
I'll pull up. I had the IMDb up because I wanted to make sure that was that guy from Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it was.
I was right.
Major Briggs.
What was it? Is Casey, right?
Yeah.
Casey Poe. Landry Albright.
Yep. I feel like I've seen her in horror.
She's in the Grinch movie.
Oh, there we go. That's horror.
She's not the
Peggy Sue or whatever.
She's
not Wendy. She's 8-year-old Martha May.
No,
remember that part.
She's just in like a bunch of like stuff. Like
she's much more of a television actor. It looks like.
I don't know.
She's a working actor, but she's not like. Famous.
Get that bread. Started with Con Air.
Yeah. Well, no.
That's true.
She's been killing it before.
It peaked in Con Air.
We need her.
It started, hold on.
97.
Okay, it started with, she's on the Bold and Beautiful.
Yep.
Well, that may have been not in 1987.
That was not.
Oh, she was on it from 96 to 97. That's her big role, 93 episodes.
Goodness.
So that's probably where it started. She was also in an episode of Spin City.
Decent. Michael J. Fox.
Oh, wait, no. In 2000. So near the end. Okay, so it was Bold and Beautiful. She started on soap opera.
I wonder if people still use soap operas as a vehicle to start their acting careers. You don't think about it as much anymore.
Yes, and a lot of...
Mainly because, I guess, whatever regular television kind of went to the wayside, there's no reason to think about soap operas.
Yeah.
They do, or they just stay on them. They're one of the... I miss her. She was great. On Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she's still on a soap. I can't remember which one. And Lisa Rinna... also was on one a lot, but now I don't know what her job is, just modeling and
I was gonna say
around
the first Housewives. Voice actor for Cloud for the Final Fantasy games was a was an actor from a soap opera.
Nice.
Yep.
And Lance Bass being Sephiroth will never not blow my mind.
Yeah. I don't know.
Championship.
It sounded good, but he barely said anything.
As he should.
Just yep. Kicked your ass.
Well, this movie definitely kicked our asses. I mean,
it took me like 4 hours to watch it. I was also working.
Okay.
But man, it just did feel like it. So,
yeah.
No, there was John Malkovich had so many great lines. I've got a question for you. When the guy, right before he blew up, he yelled sigh, and then John Malkovich.
Yeah,
Anara. You know?
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
And it's like, how long did he have that joke in the chamber?
Same,
you know, or the guy was writing
exactly
it. Like, oh,
as
that's
long
so good.
As he had Con-Air.
They probably wrote that
like,
joke first and then gave him the name. They worked backwards into it.
Yeah.
His other great line was when that guy was. Ask when they're laying out the map, and the guy's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "That's
Trump." Yes, that was a good one.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh.
But then it's if I was able to use a line like that after a guy, I mean, it would have been so great. Like, if it was a real life situation, you know. And then there's that one line, and I wrote this one down because I laughed so hard when John Malkovich and Cusack were talking. John Malkovich, what did he say? It's like, here are the rules. First, I ask a question, then you ask a question. So John Malkovich is saying, I ask a question, then John Cusack, you ask a question. And John Cusack, okay, what's your question? He already broke the rules, so he didn't even go by any of the rules.
Yeah, it's like, why are they having this, like, sleepover game over the, like, radio? And then he makes up that little song about the agent. It's like...
Oh man!
Like, yeah, sad DEA agent.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is definitely a product of its time. It was kind of one of the. This was towards the end of the action film genre, like dominating the summer of everything. There's one thing about this movie I always remember. It's the "How Do I Live" song. That's another thing that was kind of a product of its time, is that each of these films would have a song, and like it would dominate the radio waves for a long, long time. But the thing I remember about this, and I don't know why, is I remember that the song version for the film is done by a different artist than the radio version. And I remember for some reason hearing it on American Top 40 with Casey Kasem, mm-hmm. that the reason why was because I'm trying to look up who actually normally performs it.
It's Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Rimes.
Yeah.
She was not 18 at the time of when she released the song. So for some film reason, they had to have it covered by someone else.
Trisha Yearwood.
Because it's rated R?
It might have been because it was rated R or something like that.
Hmm.
I just remember...
She's not watching the movie.
Right. She's not in it, technically, but...
Yeah, she's not in the movie. Yeah.
The daughter's not 18 either. She's a child.
Yep.
But they were both nominated for a Grammy for the same song, too.
Yes.
Dang.
Yeah.
They each got half.
One got the upper torso, and the other one got the base.
Jeez. Oh.
That's an Oscar.
You know?
Oh, that's right.
I would want the
cone, whatever.
The belt, the cone part.
The gramophone.
You go, hey? Yeah.
Okay. While we brought that up, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. What is the greatest trophy that's out there? My answer is going to be the Stanley Cup. That's the trophy I think is the most epic.
Do you like it because it's filled
I'm
with
gonna say
an alcohol
from guts, the bit of the
the Astro Craig.
I mean, that's also a pretty great
trophy. That's second place for me, but
I think that's a good one too. It would be weird though if you were like on the 12th season of Guts and then the Aggro Cat crack. Is, like,
now, we're down to pebbles now.
He just got taken chunks from the.
Here's sediment from the aggro crag.
One of those does show up on eBay every now and then.
Really?
It's usually, yeah. Some kid that won it sells it.
Oh, man.
I think I like the Golden Globes.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. No, it's kind of ugly. I think the logo is better. Oh. Well, they changed it. I feel like it used to be more intricate.
But we can all...
We can all agree
the Oscar's the worst, right? As far as the actual statue goes, it's not.
So, like, we went to the Academy Museum or whatever in LA, and they had a bunch of Oscars on display, and I was just looking, like, how they changed the bulge over the years.
Oh, Oscar's Oscar.
Wow. I'm glad that that's the biggest takeaway you have from that museum. That's great. But you know what?
Oh, and I saw Beetlejuice's hair.
Okay. Nice.
That was fun.
I have to agree with Josh. Stanley's pretty decent.
Trophy.
Every award they give a corporate person, the weird glass.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, the GD Power Associate.
That's a good
truck
one too.
Hoblong of the year.
And my mom had a bunch of, like, she worked in, like, logistics. She had a bunch of, like, good job telling trucks where to go.
Nice. Selfies. Blue ribbon. It got there.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has been definitely one of our episodes that could win an award someday. I'm sure there's some sort of podcast.
I mean, it's one of the only ones where somebody, like, gave a summary of the
whole
movie.
It's so true. We don't usually
do we want to pitch Con Air 2?
Oh, yeah, let's do our pitches
for Con Air.
All right, I got it. It's got to be kind of like game sequels where they just take a different mechanic to make it. Mm-hmm. So if this one was by air, then the next one has to be by sea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of a submarine.
Yes. Submarine. So then, would we need submarine on submarine docking, like as the fever pitch that gets us into Act Two? Because they also have like international criminals that they're transporting via submarine. So then we get that like not just United States criminals, but then we get some Eastern Bloc, some Asian criminals.
They just get to international waters and then park.
Right,
or so no, it's a transport where they have to exchange. So they take all the prisoners to the Mariana Trench.
They put them on.
Give them to Leap Day William.
They put them on that super prison from Face Off, the one that's on the oil rig with the magnetic boots,
or the one under the one in Civil War, the raft.
Oh yeah.
No, so here's my pitch. I'm going to go in an interesting direction. It's going to allow us to use any vehicle we want. Okay, so we're going to follow Garland Green. But you remember the movie North with like Bruce Willis and what's the kid that played Frodo?
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. Yeah. So it's going to be like North. We follow Garland Green around the world as he tries to find a family to fit into. And like the whole time he's being chased by John Cusack, and like he's taking all these different vehicles and trying to get him in all these different places and stuff like that. And it just ends up being like a family-friendly movie where at the end Garland finally finds the family he always wanted.
So like Terminator
with the pose. Wow.
Oh, he hangs out with he goes to hang out with the pose.
Yep. That's where at the end you know, kind of like Sloth gets taken care of by Chunk's family at the end. Garland Green would be taken care of by Poe at the by the pose at the end. And
then they all sing he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yes. Followed by a cover of How Do I Live by
let's go with Shaggy.
Yes.
I like it.
Fake accent.
You know, I didn't get the pop off for North that I was expecting. Is that one I'm gonna have to?
Yeah, I've never heard of that movie.
You're gonna have to date that one.
Yeah,
for us
Josh. We're gonna have to save it for another episode of Fun Sphere Movie Club. That's what we'll do.
Well, North is one of the four compass points or cardinal directions, so that's what you mean. Wow, Elijah Wood has really had the same face.
Yeah,
as
pretty much.
It has a rating of 4.5, Josh.
Like I said, so it's
wait, two people from Seinfeld are
yes,
in this.
They are. So it's a definite like 4.5 is like usually the best average we have here at Funsphere Movie Club.
Out of 600.
Wow. Well, I think we're gonna say goodbye here, folks.
Bye.
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 I just said bye. I'm not saying it again.